Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Good morning. How many like bacon? Oh yeah, all right. My brother is a pork producer, all right? He raises hogs. And as a result, he eats a lot of pork. All the good stuff. And he has become a meat master because he has found various different recipes and methods of preparing meat. Not just pork, all right? Not just barbecue ribs, not just pork chops and pork tenderloin, but brisket and steak and even chicken. I mean, he has become a meat master. He uses different rubs, different sauces. He grills, he smokes. He has become a student of meat. You could say he has become a disciple of meat making. You say, what do you mean, a disciple? Well, last week we learned that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a student. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And that phrase, make disciples, it actually means to teach, to instruct, to become a student, and to enroll as a scholar. Just as my brother-in-law has studied and looked at all these different ways to make meat, he's become a student of making meat, of grilling and smoking meat. That's what we need to do for Jesus. We need to become students about Jesus, learning more and more and more. We can never be content with where we're at in our knowledge of Christ. Because Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. How many want to be strong and do exploits? You want to do great things for God. That comes from knowing God, so we never stop learning about God. But it's not just us. It is for the people that we win to Christ. In July, we did a series called Real Evangelism, and we taught you how to win people to Jesus. But it doesn't stop with converting them to Christ. We need to make them into disciples so they're students, they're growing, and they're learning about Jesus. I want to welcome everyone today, including our online family. Thank you for being with us. And we are in week two of a series that we're calling the Seven Dimensions of Disciple Making. Jesus is called to make disciples, and so we are learning the seven different dimensions that we need to know, that we need to implant into the people that receive Christ as we lead them to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to talk about prayer. Last week, we talked about the Bible. This week, we're going to talk about prayer. There are ways that we grow in our relationship with God. And there are many different books that talk about the spiritual disciplines you and I can implement and put into our lives to learn about Jesus. There are some books that say there's five disciplines, some say there's nine, some say there's 12. There's a lot of different ones, but there are two common elements, two disciplines that are found in every single book. One is the Bible that we talked about last week. If you missed last week's message, you can catch up by going to our YouTube channel, Radius Church in Casper. You can find it there, or go to our webpage, radiuschurch.life. Go to the watch tab and you can watch last week's message. And we taught you how to study the Bible, and we gave you the soap process. How many use soap this week? You know, I thought there's some of you, some of you didn't smell real fresh when you walked in this morning. Oh no, I'm not talking about that soap. No, soap stands for what? Do you remember? Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. Talks about prayer. And that brings us to the second discipline that is so vitally important, which is prayer, which we're going to learn about this morning. We're going to learn how to pray, but more importantly, how do we teach other people to pray? How do we teach our kids to pray? How do we teach new Christians that come to Christ? How do we teach them to pray? Maybe for some of you, you might say, no one ever taught me to pray. I know no one taught me to pray. It was kind of hit and miss. I never had any formal mentoring or discipleship on prayer. So this message is great for anyone who feels like, I really wish I knew how to pray. So let's take a look this morning. We're going to dive in and learn about prayer. Number one, the expectation of prayer. The expectation of prayer. In your notes, Jesus expected us to pray. Jesus expected all of his followers to pray. We see this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus said, and when you pray. Verse 6, but you, when you pray. Verse 7, and when you pray. Notice Jesus did not say, if you pray. Right? He didn't say, if you pray, if you feel like it, if things are going so bad, you need to call up to God. No, he said, when you pray. He expected us to pray. In verse 9, a couple of verses later, he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. And then he taught them the Lord's Prayer, a pattern for prayer. It's not to be recited. The church I grew up in, we memorized prayers. And so a lot of times saying prayers at night as a kid before I went to bed was, how fast can I say the prayers? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. Woo! I'm done. Amen. I can still say some of the other recited prayers, but I don't pray to angels or Mary anymore, okay? You only pray to God. You only pray to Jesus. The Bible doesn't teach us to pray to anyone else. You pray to God only. But prayer is not a meaningless repetition. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6. If you go home, and I encourage you, go home, read Matthew chapter 6 today after the picnic, all right? Don't read it on your phone as you're driving out to the picnic and baptism. We don't want any accidents. But Jesus, he said, don't be like the heathen who use vain repetitions, mindless, and just saying the same thing over and over all the time. Prayer is to be a relationship where you just talk to God. Just as you talk to someone before church about how well the Denver Broncos did this week, or how well the Dallas Cowboys did against Denver last week. You know, just as you're talking and having a conversation, that's what prayer is. It's a conversation. Jesus expected us to pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, so I say to you, ask, seek, knock. Luke 18, 1, Jesus told his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray. And even if you don't see the answer, even if it seems like the deadline has passed and it doesn't come through, don't give up and say, well, God, thanks a lot, you failed me. Always pray and never give up praying. Jesus expected us to pray. Look at your neighbor and point at him and say, Jesus expects you to pray, okay? And I'll say right back at you. Number two in your notes this morning, as we talk about the expectation of prayer, is that almost every New Testament audience was expected to pray. Romans chapter 12, when Paul wrote to the Romans, in verse 12 he said, continuing steadfastly in prayer. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 11, he said, you can help us with your prayers. You pray for us. He expected them to pray. When he was talking to the Ephesians about the armor of God, he finishes it off in chapter 6, verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is part of the armor of God. It is a weapon to fight those principalities and powers. We're expected to pray. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said to the Philippian church, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. To the Colossians in chapter 4, verse 2, he said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. To the Thessalonians in his first letter, chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. What does that mean? 1 Timothy, when Paul is writing to this young minister helping him, he says, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. The Apostle Paul told almost every single church or almost every single individual, you need to be praying. The writer of Hebrews talks about us going to God in prayer in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you are in a time of need, boldly go before the throne. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Boldly go to God because Jesus shed his blood to open up the gates of heaven so you and I can go to directly to God. Jesus is our mediator. We can pray and reach the throne of heaven. In James chapter 5, verse 13, James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. I just throw this out. Are any of you suffering today? Are any of you going through a rough time? You having a difficult time? For those watching online, is there a problem, a situation, a family matter, something at work that you just feel you can't overcome? If you are suffering, James says you need to pray. Peter, he wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, that the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Jude said in chapter 1, verse 20, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues, praying in the language, the prayer language that God gives you when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jude said, as you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up. We need to be praying not just in our native tongue, but be praying with the supernatural language God gives us. And if we don't have Spirit baptism, we need to be seeking it, because that is one of the benefits that we can pray, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment, how Spirit baptism helps us in prayer. And then in Revelation, and we just sang songs about that today, about worthy is the Lamb and holy, holy. Well, this is takes place in chapter 5. What we read about was chapter 4. This is what John saw in chapter 5. It says, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. Our prayers are stored in golden bowls, and they're like incense, a sweet-smelling fragrance. That's how valuable our prayers are. God, did you realize that when you pray, God's storing your prayers up? He's storing your prayers up. Every prayer you've prayed from the time you've been a little kid till now, God has been storing them. Friends, followers of Jesus are expected to pray. There's a third part that comes with the expectation of prayer. Number three in your notes, Jesus modeled prayer. Jesus modeled prayer. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew. He got away from the crowds, went out into the wilderness, got by himself, found a secluded place so he could be alone with his Father. And then he just talked to his Father. And friends, if Jesus had to pray often, how much more do we? You know, when you look at the Bible, you see many times how Jesus, he really sought after God. Before he chose the disciples, he stayed up all night praying, asking God for wisdom. Who should be the 12 that will help me accomplish your plan? He stayed up all night. You take a look, he had ministered all day to the 5,000, and then he fed them, and he was exhausted. But instead of going to sleep, he sends his disciples away, and it says he goes up on a mountain and he prays all by himself. Many times in the Bible, we see Jesus goes to the mountain and either goes alone or he goes with his disciples. When he's in Jerusalem, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's how they knew where to find him on the night of the Last Supper when Judas betrayed him, because he always went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. In fact, right before he went in John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays for all believers at that time and for even believers in the future to come. And when he gets done praying there, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays alone because he knows he needs spiritual strength to face the cross, that God would help him through what was coming up. Friends, if Jesus was a man of prayer, who is also the Son of God, how much more do you and I, as men and women of flesh, need to be people of prayer? As you look at the Bible over and over and over, prayer is an expectation of us. We're expected to pray. Okay, let's take a look at number two. The next part we want to look at is the exchange of prayer. The exchange of prayer. Just because prayer is an expectation doesn't mean it's a duty. Sometimes we treat prayer like a duty. It's something that I have to do. Prayer is not something we have to do. Prayer is something we get to do. Do you realize that the maker, and one of the words talked about that God was a creator, that the creator, the maker of the universe, the master of everything, wants an audience with you? That's mind-blowing. God, the maker and master of everything, wants to talk to you. He wants a relationship with you. Man, I mean, what would you do to have an audience with the king or the president or a famous person? I mean, you know, that'd be pretty cool, friends. We have someone way more important than any human being on the planet. God wants an audience with you. But we sometimes treat God like Santa Claus. Our exchange is, we sit on his lap, I want a new house, I want a new car, I want new clothes, I want this, I want that, I want this. And it's like, we just lay out all the things we want. Or we treat God like a heavenly 911 hotline. You know, Jesus, help! I'm in trouble! Bail me out of this! I need help! Friends, God doesn't want just to be a cosmic Santa Claus or a 911 line. The exchange with him, now, he does want us to cast all of our cares upon him. He does want us to take our needs, because he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We are to do that, but if the only thing we do is bring our laundry list of needs and wants to God, then we're missing out on so much, because prayer, take a look in your notes this morning, is not a one-way monologue. It's a two-way conversation. It's not a one-way monologue where I do all the talking and God just shuts up and listens. No, it's a two-way conversation. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to be still in his presence and listen to him. And God, you say, how does God speak? Many times God speaks through Scripture. That's why as you use the SOAP process, God will give you an observation and an application. You apply it to your life. How does God speak to us? What does he speak? Sometimes he speaks conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, of things we've done wrong, or he convicts us of righteousness, right things that we are to do. God sometimes speaks encouragement to us. He speaks comfort to us. Sometimes he speaks promptings to us. I want you to do this today. We need to take time as we're praying to be quiet and say, God, what do you want to say to me today? I want to listen. I want to hear your voice. God wants to talk to you. That might be a new concept to some of you, because I know for me, like I said earlier, prayer was just repeating something I memorized. That was it. It was done. There was no conversation involved. In fact, even after I became a Christian, I started to try to talk to God, and have this conversation with him, but I felt so much that I had to say my memorized prayers or I really hadn't prayed. And it took, I don't know how long it took for me to overcome that, to realize that God's not in a formula. He's not in a religion, in a ceremony, in a rote. God's into relationship. And that brings us to point number two. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is a relationship. It's not just your regimen. It's not just your routine. Now, it is good to have a scheduled time of prayer. Now, sometimes that might think, well, isn't that kind of legalistic that you're setting aside time? But let me ask you this. How many of you set aside time to date your spouse? You put an appointment on the calendar to go out with your spouse. Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you need to pick it up here, all right? You need to be dating your spouse here, all right? But no, if there's somebody you want to meet with, what do? You set an appointment. You get together for coffee. You do lunch. You call them up. You make an appointment, and you put it on the calendar. I'm meeting with Joe at this time. I'm meeting with Jane at this time. We make appointments with people because it's important. We're prioritizing that person. Friends, we need to make appointments with God. That's how I view my daily prayer time, is that this is my appointment with God. And I carve it out. Because in your notes, we have a quote there. It says, if you don't plan to pray, you won't pray. If you're waiting for a time when it's convenient to pray, the devil will make sure it's never convenient. Something will come up to distract you, and you won't have any time for prayer if you don't plan and schedule an appointment with God. So schedule that appointment, but it's not a routine thing. It's not out of duty. It's not that this is part of my to-do list. Instead, it is my privilege to talk to God. And I have communion with Him. I'm connecting with Him. I'm communicating to God, and He's communicating with me. Prayer is a relationship. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we are to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We mentioned that verse earlier. What does Paul mean by that? Does that mean that, well, we just have to sit around all day and pray and get on our knees and we talk to God all day long and that's all we do? No. Because there's other things the Bible says we're supposed to do. We're supposed to witness. It says to fathers that someone who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. I mean, so we need to work to provide for our family. We need to sleep. Can you pray in your sleep? Can you verbally talk to God in your sleep? No. So what does Paul mean when he says pray without ceasing? I believe what Paul is talking about is that we need an attitude of prayer in our lives. Think of it this way. Think of God as being on your cell phone. And so you get up, you have your prayer time in the morning, whenever you have it, or maybe you have it at night, but say you're praying, you're talking to God. And now you never, even when you're done with your prayer time, it's not like you turn them off and you go on your way and say, okay, I'm done. No, you keep God with you throughout the day. How many keep your cell phone with you throughout the day? Yeah. What happens when you forget it at home? Yeah. Hey, 30 years ago, when we didn't have cell phones, we just left the house and you didn't worry about a phone call. There was only landlines. I want you to think of God every time you feel your cell phone. Just as you won't go anywhere without your cell phone, you don't go anywhere without God. But it's not just sitting in your pocket doing nothing. You're always there. But then there's times where you have to take phone calls, and so you maybe not aren't talking to God, but you're just conscious that He's there, and so you got to take this call and do this. And then you take that call, and you take this call, and the whole time you realize you could stop what you're doing here and say, hey, God, I need this. And so God is always there. When you're going to work and you're working on a project, God is always there. There's this communication, even a consciousness that God is there. There's an awareness that God is with you, and that at any time your attention can stop what you're doing and it can go to God and talk to God. God wants this attitude, this relationship of prayer, that it goes beyond the prayer closet, which is vitally important, that we set aside a certain time and a place. Jesus said, when you go into the secret place, your prayer closet, and pray, that's good, but we need to be people that continue in prayer. And when you do, believe that He hears you. Believe that He hears you. Prayer is an all-day exchange with God. It's part of your relationship. Now let's get to the nuts and bolts about it. Let's look at the essentials of prayer. What do we say when we pray? How do we pray? Like I said earlier, no one taught me how to pray. How many of you had someone teach you how to pray? There's a few hands, but not a lot. So most of us have kind of just wandered around, learned how to do it, stumbled through life. Maybe you even feel today, I still don't know how to pray. These are some essentials of prayer, and they are in your notes this morning. If you open up your worship program, we're going to take a look at this, because these are essentials of prayer. We're going to post this on our website under the Resources tab, under About Us, and then you can use this at any time. You're discipling a new convert or even your kids. How do you pray? You can just go print this off or take a snapshot on your cell phone of it, and you can use this as a guide to pray. So let's take a look this morning. A person who prays, how do you pray? When a person prays, you're going to use praise as an acrostic, P-R-A-Y-S. The letter P stands for praise. It stands for P-R-A-I-S-E, praising and worshiping God. What praise is you're loving God. You're adoring God in that moment. And so you can sing songs of worship and praise to God. Some of the songs we just sang today, I will sing of the goodness of God. This morning in my devotions, I sang 10,000 reasons. You know, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. That was a song I entered in to praise and worship. Praise is a good thing to start with. It's the psalmist said, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart and enter His courts with praise. Praising God is a great thing to start with, because it focuses on the greatness and the bigness of God. So many times, life or problems or situations seem so big. Praise puts life in proper perspective. So start with praise. In Psalm 63, verse 3, it says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Realize that God loves us. He's kind to us. We've experienced the goodness of God, and therefore He's worthy of our praise. Praise can happen if, and say, some of you say, I don't like to sing. Put on worship music. Most of the time, I will play the song. I'll Google it on my phone. I'll hit play, and I'll worship along with it. But there's something else I'll do. I will also, as that song is playing, I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing in tongues, in the language that Jesus has given me, that when I'm baptized with the Spirit, I will sing in tongues. I'll worship in tongues, sometimes with music, sometimes without. But we can worship in tongues. And it doesn't just take music. You can worship and praise God just with your words. Focus on the names of God in the Bible. Praise focuses on the character of God, who He is. You're my provider, you're my friend, you're my king, you're my rock, you're my shield, you're my defender. All these things that God is, praise God for who He is and what He's done for you. Tell God why you love Him. Tell Him you love Him. And just enjoy His presence. Enjoy His presence. Don't necessarily launch into all of your requests. Now, there are some times when there's something weighing on my heart, I mean, it's like an emergency or a heavy burden, there's sometimes I just come to God and boom, that's where I start with. Because I've got to unburden myself so I can enter in and begin to pray and do all these other elements. So realize these elements, don't make them legalistic and say, you have to do them in order. It's a relationship. Just as sometimes you meet with a friend and you get together and the first thing you do is, boom, you dump on them. How many have ever done that? You've got a problem so bad, first thing you do is you dump on them. You know, sometimes you have to do that with God. So realize these five elements of prayer, aspects of prayer, put them in the order that works for you in that time. So the first one we've talked about is praising God. The letter R in praise stands for repent. We need to repent, and repentance means that we're taking care of sin in our life. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30 says, repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. You realize that if we hang on to sin in our lives, it's going to ruin us? It'll destroy us. We can't harbor sin and hide sin in our lives. We need a clean slate with God. We need to come clean with Him. And Acts chapter 3, 19 says, repent that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you like to be refreshed? I love to be refreshed. Repentance is a key to having a fresh walk with God and a refreshed life. Repentance is more than confessing sin. It's more than just saying, God, I'm sorry I did this. Repentance means I turn from my sin. I realize how much it has hurt God because my sin put Jesus on the cross. I realize how much it hurt Jesus, and I'm more than sorry. It's like, God, I turn from it. I want to follow you. Help me to overcome this. Repentance involves desiring a holy life and having a passion for godly things. It's not just that I stop doing things, but God, give me a passion for you, for your ways, for godliness in my life, that I would not sin against you anymore. God wants us to have this heart that we want to draw near to Him. If I offend my wife or my daughter, it distances our relationship. I need to make amends for that fellowship to be restored for us to be close again. If I don't, there is a distance there. The same thing happens in our walk with God. If we are not taking care of sin, when we do things that offend God, it's going to create distance. Our fellowship will seem distant from God. So repentance is vital as we pray. Letter A. The letter A stands for ask. We're pretty good at this one. This one is lifting up our needs, our wants, our dreams, our desires, and also lifting up the needs, wants, and dreams, desires of other people. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You realize everything encompasses everything in your life? I know there have been times in my life where I felt like there were things that were too little to bring to God, that God really didn't care about him. But Paul says, pray about everything. Friends, if Jesus knows the hairs on your head, that's something very little, and in some cases it's very little. If he knows the hairs on your head, he cares about the smallest things going on in your life. Bring the small things to God. Bring the big things to God. There is nothing that's too big. Don't be anxious. If you find yourself anxious about anything, some of you students may be anxious about going back to school. Some of our college students heading off to Casper College, it starts tomorrow. You might be anxious about college. Some of you might be anxious about a situation at work or at home. If there's any anxiety in your life about something, Jesus wants us to take it to him. Paul said, don't hold anything inside. In everything, give it to God. That's how you pray. Give it all to God. As you ask, ask in accordance with his will. Jesus taught us, not my will, but your will be done. Now, there are times when I think I know, God, this is what you need to do in this situation. And when he doesn't do it, it's like, come on, Lord, what's up? Don't you know that I know what should be done here? And yet, his will is not my will. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. So we need to be people that as we pray, we lay these things and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Ask for his will to be done. Also, have a heart-to-heart with him. I know there was times when I prayed early on as a kid and even growing up, I felt like I couldn't really be honest with God. When I was really mad and angry, I couldn't tell him how I felt. If I was really afraid, I it's like I had to withhold these feelings from God. Friends, God wants us to be completely honest with him. You can be ticked off at God, all right? You can cry your eyes out to God. You can question God, say, God, I don't know if this is really real. God wants us to have an honest heart-to-heart because that's where you get an intimate, close relationship is when you bare your heart. When you ask not only for your needs, but for other people. Pray for your parents. Pray for your spouse. If you're single, pray for your spouse to be praying for that person, that God is guiding them and directing them and drawing them to a close relationship with him, that he is keeping them sexually pure. Be praying for your future mate. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for our church, for the ministries. These events that you see, take your bulletin home, pray about them as you see it and say, God, bless the men's group. I'm so excited about the Champions men's group coming up. 9:15, guys, sign up. It's going to be great, all right? I'm excited about the Encountering God group for people to encounter God. The freedom groups are going on. We've been having just a phenomenal time. I know in our group, we've got about 20 people in our group. Be praying for the groups, the ministries, the events, the midweek recharge that we're kicking off. Pray for our kids' church. Pray for the nursery. Pray for our service. Pray for our worship team. As you pray for our church, that God would anoint us and use us and change lives, God will change lives. A praying church is a church that moves the hand of God. One of my favorite quotes on prayer is that prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. You know, you can have someone who has big, bulging muscles, but if you sever the nerves, those muscles will do nothing. Prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God's all-powerfulness. So ask for our church. Pray for our church. Pray for our leaders. That's what Paul said in Timothy. I want you to pray for kings, for people in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for your teachers. Pray for your boss or your supervisor. Pray for everyone. I mean, there can be some bosses or teachers that make your life not quiet and not peaceable. How many have been there? Yeah, so pray for all those in authority. Ask for other people. And then, the last point there you see is pray in tongues. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Pray in your supernatural language. Because there are times, there's been times I prayed for something and I run out of words to say. But there's times when I think I know everything, that I don't know everything. And the Holy Spirit knows things, so he prays through me. That's what Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says. It says, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. As you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit prays for needs and problems, situations that are coming up that you don't even know are coming up. So you want to pray in the Spirit. All right, let's move to the letter Y. The letter Y stands for yield. We need to yield to God when we pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I try every day to say, God, What's your plan for this day? I know there's things on my to-do list, on my calendar that I've got scheduled, projects I want to get done, but what projects do you want to get done? What's your plan for the day? And then also, God, what's your plan for my life? What do you want to be doing in my life and ministry 6 months from now? 6 years from now? God, what do you want to be doing in my marriage? How do I minister to my spouse and my kids? And be praying for God to show you the plan for the day and the people. When you have appointments, you're meeting with someone, pray for that appointment. Yield to God and say, God, let your will be done. Another thing to do as you yield is to deny yourself. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple, we've been talking about disciples, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. I need to die to Craig and what Craig wants. I need to say, God, I want what you want. I know the things that I want to see happen, but God, I die to that, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I ask God to help me live a godly life and a life that glorifies Him. I ask God for witnessing opportunities and ministry opportunities to other people. I ask God for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. When I'm baptized in the Spirit, it's not just, okay, great, I pray in tongues, I got it, I'm good, I'm done. No, I need a daily refilling. And if you're baptized in the Spirit, we need to be praying for that. Yield to God and say, Spirit, baptize me, fill me again today so I can be your vessel and witness and minister in the power of God. And if you haven't received Spirit baptism, you should be praying for that every day. God, fill me. I want the power to make a difference in other people's lives. The letter S, and we're wrapping it up with this. That means say thank you. Say thank you. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, in the good things of life, give thanks. Is that what it says? When you get a promotion, give thanks. When you get a raise, give thanks. No, it also says, when you lose your job, give thanks. In everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First thing, there's times we feel like, man, God, you haven't been real good to me. I haven't seen the goodness of God. Jesus dying on the cross, so that you and I don't spend eternity in hell, and we'll go and live with God forever in heaven. Friends, that is the greatest thing that could ever happen. And that's just reason enough to be thankful. Every day, thank Jesus for the cross. Paul said, I boast in the cross. I glory in the cross. Thank Jesus for dying for your sin. Thank Jesus for answered prayers, for His faithfulness, that even when you couldn't see it, you know He's working everything together for good. Thank Him not just for prayers that are answered, but answers that are coming, that you don't even see. That's what we need. We need to believe, praying in faith, God, You're going to help provide for this need. God, I thank You that You're healing me. God, I thank You that You're helping me in this class that I am so lost in and I don't get anything out of. God, I thank You that You're in control and You're working it out even though it looks impossible right now. I thank You, God, You're the God of the impossible. Thank Him for the answers that are coming. There's a gentleman named George Mueller who did that. He was a pastor and he ran an orphanage in Bristol, England. There were times he had 2,000 children, and he never once publicized his needs. He never once sent out a fundraising letter. He never promoted it, never told anyone. He just prayed. And there was one occasion where he had 300 kids in the orphanage, and there's no food. And so he tells the house mother, I want you to have all the kids get ready for school and sit down at the dining tables. So she did that. George walks in, he prays, and he says, God, we need food, and I thank you for giving us the food today. And then he just waited. And it wasn't long, there's a knock on the door. And a baker comes and says, man, God got me up last night. I just had this feeling that you needed food, so I made 3 extra batches, and here's all the fresh bread that I brought for you. Not long after that, there's another knock at the door, and it was the milkman. And he says, my milk cart broke down on the street, and by the time it fixed, the milk is going to get spoiled. Would you like some free milk? Could you use some free milk? He brought in 10 of the big tins in, enough milk for 300 kids. Friends, George thanked God when he didn't have an answer to prayer. Because if I have a trusting relationship of faith that God has taken care of me, then I can thank him even when I don't see an answer. I can thank him when things look bleak. I can thank him when things look possible. Like, how am I going to have food to feed 300 kids? Some of you are worrying, how am I going to feed my 3 kids? Friends, if God can take care of George's 300, he can take care of your 3. In everything, give thanks. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. As disciples of Jesus who make disciples, we need to be people of prayer, and we need to teach others to pray. And that's my prayer this morning, is that God will give you a desire to pray more, to talk more, that whatever you need to elevate your prayer life, God will begin to birth that and do that in you. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege of prayer, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace. Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross and you're our mediator and you've given us access. Thank you for being our provider, our protector, our teacher, our comforter, our guide, and our friend. Help us, Lord God, to grow in prayer. You know, earlier we mentioned that repentance is something that we need to pray. And there may be some of you here in the house or some of you watching online. That's the greatest prayer that you need to pray right now, because maybe you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You haven't turned from your sin. You've been living for yourself, and this morning you sense God's conviction. He's convicted you of what you're doing wrong. He's convicted you that your life needs to change. But we can't change in our own power. We need God's power. So we need to repent, where we turn from sin and we turn to God and we say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you. You're the leader of my life. I'm putting you in charge. I believe that Jesus died for me, that the wages of sin is death. If I don't have the forgiveness and leadership of God, I'm going to hell. But Christ loved you so much, he wants a relationship with you, that he died so you can be forgiven. And if you confess your sin and that Jesus is Lord, the leader and master of your life, you too can be saved from your sin, have a relationship with God, and go to heaven. Maybe some of you are Christ followers, but there are some secret sins you've been harboring or just things you're holding on to, and you know you need to repent of those this morning. Whatever your case, if you need to repent, if you need to put God first place, whether you're here or watching online, I'd like you just to raise your hand wherever you're at today. Just put your hand up in the air. Thank you. I see that hand in the back. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? Thank you. I see the hand there in the middle. Anyone else today? You'd say, I need God's cleansing. I'm sensing guilt. I know I'm not right with God. I need a clean slate with God. If that's you online, go ahead, just raise your hand and say, God, I need to be forgiven. Forgive me. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to say this prayer. I would like all of us to pray together, no one praying alone. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. Forgive me for my sin. I turn away from it. I turn to you. I surrender my life. Become my leader. Make me a new person. Set me on a new path. I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Help me grow in relationship with you. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.